Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We are going an extra hour on Oilers Now on game days. Bob Stauffer at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Brendan Escott's back in the 630 CHED studios in Edmonton. John Bruins is helping produce this one for us. In this hour, we will hear from the provincial affairs columnist and cult of hockey writer from the Edmonton Journal, David Staples, and the vice chair of the Oilers Entertainment Group, Hockey Hall of Famer, Kevin Lowe. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted. Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. Or you can reach us on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. We'll tell you that Oilers Now has been brought to you for 8 consecutive seasons by Digitex. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. Texter says, well, Bob, you were wrong. You said Puljujarvi's a left wing. Puljujarvi is a right wing who, as a right shot, like Archibald, has seen time on left wing in the series. I had a caller or a texter ask me about where could Dylan Holloway theoretically fit in. All right, we head off to the River Cree Resort Casino. Welcome back. Regular Wednesday contributor. We moved him an hour so we could take some calls and texts. We welcome back David Staples from the Cult of Hockey. How you doing, David?
I'm good, Bob. How are you doing?
Good. Isn't this what it's all about, really, when you think about it?
It is, and I don't think we're really going to know that until we see it, until we all collectively start to experience this again, playoff hockey against the arch rival team, not against, you know, teams we might not like, teams like the Dallas Stars and the Anaheim Ducks, Vancouver, Winnipeg. We might even hate some of those teams, but there's only one Calgary Flames, and there's something unique about this that we haven't had a long time. We've had it in the regular season. I mean, we all went through the roof with big games in recent years. Mike Smith fighting the Flames goalie at center ice. And some of those games have been wild. Turtle Chuck Cassian incident. Like, those things are kind of a little bit of a taste of what we're going to get. But it's going to be interesting to see in the Twitter era, in modern social media era, this big rivalry play out. So, yeah, I'm excited for that.
Oh, it's funny because Mark Spector's just dropped a piece right now that's on Sportsnet about the Battle of Alberta, the rivalry, you know, dating all the way back to where CN put the railway and where they put the University of Alberta at Edmonton, where the provincial capital was, Edmonton. And he just talked about the level of engagement for the fan base. I know I had this conversation on yesterday. I was on with A.J. Jakubik in Ottawa. Ryan Rashog and Mark Spector, myself and Jason Greger, it's four guys north of 75,000 followers on Twitter, and I don't think there's a sports media guy in Calgary that's over 35 or 40,000. And that's not because we're great and they're not great. That's because there's a way, I personally feel, and the television numbers would support this, I just think there's far more interest from an Edmonton market or an oil country market that is largely from Edmonton, where, you know, and is tended to be a little bit more blue collar to the white collar, more transient Calgary market that has had anywhere, David, from 50 to 80,000 Americans living in their city at a time. What do you think about that?
I don't really have a theory about it, Bob. I don't know why Calgary isn't as obsessed about their team as we are in Edmonton. The whole rivalry thing, when I was younger, I really felt it. Like, there really did seem to be a rivalry between the two cities, an economic rivalry, and we were kind of rooting against them, and I guess they were rooting against us. In the Ralph Klein era, we felt left out and on the outside. I guess my own feelings towards Calgary now is, like, we're all in this, like, we Albertans are in this together, and we've got bigger fish to fry than fighting each other. We've got fights with Ottawa, with the rest of the world. We've got huge battles that we need to come together, and we have done so. I think Edmonton and Calgary, in some ways, there's never been less real rivalry between the two cities, but now we have, but there's still this. There's still this kind of tribal sports rivalry that's going to go on. And maybe Maybe in Calgary, I don't know. Like, these are just less. They sell out the Saddledome. They have lots of people going to the games. They got lots of people going to their football games. I think they're big sports fans down there. I don't know exactly what accounts for the obsession in Edmonton. The kind of the unique obsession, perhaps, with this hockey team. I think it's the owners are so tied up in our identity as a city. The way the Gretzky team won those five Stanley Cups. The Gretzky Messier team won the five Stanley Cups. Maybe that's it. It just had such a deep imprint on us. The whole generation of Edmontonians who grew up with that. So they've retained all of those fans, and it made the Oilers kind of a legendary franchise, which the Flames are not.
Yeah, well, they're not. All right. What do the numbers say about the final two games of the Edmonton LA series? You do, and maybe explain once again sort of the analytics that you guys provide on the Cult of Hockey.
We're just what we do, Bob, is video review during the games, and what we're looking for is what we think is the most important event in a game, which is the grade A shot. And you'll hear TV broadcasters now talking a lot about grade A shots. It's the biggest moment in a game. If you can manufacture grade A shots and not give them up, you're generally the better team on the ice. So we don't, you know, in terms of the shots, it's those really important shots that matter. And in the final two games of the LA series, something really pretty remarkable happened. The Oilers just thwarted the Kings' ability to get off grade A shots. They didn't completely shut them down, but they came close to that. Over the final two games, they allowed just 12 grade A shots against in total. Now, that's six per game, and usually they allow double that in a game, the Oilers did in the regular season. So from their regular season performance, they cut it in half. And, Bob, I really believe it was – I think this is for real, and I think it's just significant. And I think the Edmonton Oilers finally discovered the game they need to play in the playoffs to win. And it came through desperation. They were about to be eliminated by the Kings. They had given up 20 grade A shots in losing game five. 20 grade A shots. It was their worst performance in the playoffs. All kinds of culprits, all kinds of people not doing their jobs, mental errors, lack of effort, however you want to put it. I mean, it was all that. And they figured it out. And it was led, I think, it was led by the leaders on the team, in specifically Connor McDavid, who rose up and has decided he's not losing this year. And he's not losing because he's going to play defense like he's never played it before in his life. He's going to cover the defensive slot. He's going to back check fiercely. He's going to hit. He's going to be that two-way player he's never been before in the playoffs. We're seeing it now, and that's why I say that this is why I'm predicting the Oilers will win the series. I think McDavid has gone supernova, particularly on defense, and the Oilers have discovered a defensive game that can win in the playoffs, and I think they're going to execute that game.
Hey, I got to ask you this. Kurt Levens wrote a piece, Nine Things in Sunday's paper, and yep. His primary focus was that Ken Holland's now had enough time to sort of, deal with what he was left with under the Pete Chiarelli regime, and that Ken made some bets, and one of his bets was he wanted to see what his team looked like with healthy goaltending. His team doesn't look that bad with healthy goaltending, with Mike Smith playing better. Duncan Keith, Cody Ceci, there was a lot of criticism on that. And he spoke on about the value of experience because, of course, people always want young, exciting, new people coming up and that sort of thing. What did you think of that piece that Kurt wrote?
Well, I agree with it, and Kurt has taken a lot of guff for standing up for Ken Holland, frankly. Like, there's a small minority of fans, let's say it's 20%, who are really, really against Ken Holland. They don't think he's done much right. They think he's done mainly gotten things wrong. Kurt's consistently defended Holland, and I think, there's been times as recently as people have been seriously questioned. All kinds of fans have been questioning Holland during the LA series when the Oilers were down after, the first game or after the fifth game. And, people were losing faith in the moves he made. And that could still happen, right? Like if they go out quickly and meekly against the Flames, people will still question Ken Holland. But they did win a round. They hadn't won a round since 2017. And who would have stuck stuck with Smith and Koskinen. Hardly any fan, you know, he did that. That was based on, I'm sure it was based on experience. He made signings like, he approached Evander Kane knowing it was going to take heat, and understanding that a significant part of the fan base is going to be deeply uncomfortable with that, but weighing everything, including the need to win this year, you know, with McDavid and Draisaitl in the prime of their careers, he decided to make that bet. He placed money on Zach Hyman, Cody Ceci, Duncan Keith. He made that trade. Derek Ryan's turned out. I mean, that third line of Ryan, Archibald, and Nugent Hopkins, I thought Bob was, when they were on the ice in games 6 and 7, I was completely comfortable. I didn't think they're going to score against the Oilers. You know, you have to have a checking line that can win. And Holland brought in Derek Ryan. A lot of fans would have jettisoned Josh Archibald in a second for the whole vaccine stuff. Ken Holland stuck with him. He has a lot of patience, and he's always preached that patience. Can it be that patience just paid off and it's working? I would suggest that it was a big factor in that first round and in the win in the first round. And, you know, it almost bit him because he was very patient with Dave Tippett. But he did make that change. That was but that might have been experience too, you know. Old enough to know, wise enough to know, well, I've done things this way the whole way. It's worked so far, but my experience teaches me sometimes you got to change it up. So whatever it was, I think that it's worked out to date with Ken Holland's moves. I mean, the CC signing is probably the best. The CC and Kane signings, is there a team that had two better signings this year than CC and Kane in the NHL? I can't think of one. I doubt it.
L.A., Deneau.
Deneau, and who else, though? Like, two. Like, if you add up two, like, who are the okay. two? So that's, there's better signings, maybe. You could make an argument there's better signings. Like, Deneau was a hell of a signing. Obviously, you know, some people point to Bunting and Toronto is really working out. But who signed two players that, you know, your top pairing defenseman, actually your number one defenseman, Cody Ceci, right now, and a winger who has, I was listening to Elliot Friedman, and they were complaining in Toronto, like, again, and they're saying what they need is a nasty, nasty, tough, aggressive winger in the top, and I'm thinking, well, there's one team that's going to be bidding on Evander Kane, but Ken Holland, Toronto might have got Evander Kane, but, you know, they weren't going to do that. They were going to take the criticism in Toronto of signing Evander Kane that Ken Holland got here in Edmonton.
David, this is something that you and me deal with. I mean, and you're out there politically, and I'm not out there politically. I mean, I have some very socially liberal views on some issues and some very fiscally conservative views on some issues. So figure it out where I come down the pipe. So I'm just going to throw that out there. But we live in a time in which people do jump to judge without actually looking in the mirror themselves. And it's funny. If Kane had scored 12 goals instead of 22, I think the sentiment would have been completely different. But the fact is, they couldn't have asked for a better performance in the regular season and through the first round of playoffs than what Evander's brought.
He's brought something that the Oilers haven't had, I don't think, since Sheldon Surrey and Chris Pronger. And that's a swagger. And it's a big, tough alpha who's going to intimidate everybody on the ice.
Well, let's not forget, they had Lucic for 3 years. He did score 20 goals and had 50 points his first season.
He wasn't that player. Do you think he was that player, Bob?
I think he was challenged to be that player already by that point in Edmonton, yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I cut you off there, but I do think he wasn't that player. Like I was hoping that as well, but he wasn't. And maybe he's got it. Maybe he's rediscovered it in Calgary. I don't know.
The point you're making is Evander Kane has a nastiness to his game. That's part of it. That's what Surrey had, and certainly Chris Pronger. Chris Pronger played mind games with everybody, broadcasters and media included, writers included. He could get inside your head. He was the master, and he could back it up when he actually decided that he, like Surrey, and like we know Kane can do, when they have to throw down, they will throw down.
Yeah, Evander Kane was just nasty face washing, elbowing in the face, hacking, hitting, going to the net, scoring goals, power forward, the exact player that the Toronto Maple Leafs needed. And, you know, Kyle Dubas should ask himself, why didn't I do that? What stopped me? And you know, maybe Holland was the savvy GM who was going to get him anyway, but there was a lot of teams who backed away from Kane, and maybe they're regretting it now.
All right, so Give me three keys for the Oilers to win the series.
Well, they can't forget the lesson that they learned in game 6 and 7. So after being, you know, they scored those, they had those two huge wins by 6 goals each in the 2 straight games, and it went to their heads, I believe. And it's hard not to. You have such success attacking, and you start to think, okay, yeah, we are the 1980s Oilers again. So they can't forget that desperation they felt in game 5 and the solution that they found in terms of being just smart but also desperate on defense and aggressive. They can't forget that. Unfortunately, another key is injuries, and the Oilers are really, this is where I'm most worried about the Oilers, the state of health of the players who missed the last 2 practices, including Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, Kane. We weren't worried about them before. I am a little bit now. The Flames have Tanev out or injured. We don't know if he's playing, I guess.
Well, he was on the ice today.
He's on the ice today.
And Nugent Hopkins was on the ice today with McDavid. Draisaitl and Kane were not.
And then the third key is obviously goaltending. Mike Smith, he's played well when he's healthy. And if he's healthy, can he match? Can he come close to matching Big Markstrom? I think he can, but we'll see.
David, great stuff. How do people follow you?
They can follow on Twitter at the Cult of Hockey or at D Staples.
There you go. That's David Staples, Call to Hockey. All right. That's the Edmonton Journal's Provincial Affairs columnist as well. It's 12. Check that. 2:21 at Edmonton. We're going to go the extra hour today and on Friday and game days. We are live at Scotiabank Saddle Dome. We'll come back with your text on the Ashley Fine Floors text line when we return. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer in Calgary, Scotiabank Saddle Dome tonight. The Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames. We're going an extra hour on game days here on 630 CHED with Oilers Now. We will tell you, Royal Pizza, pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton-owned and operated for over 50-plus years. For a menu and a list of their 15 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation at Royal Pizza is the Mediterranean Chicken. Royal Pizza, 15 locations in Edmonton and 4 now in Calgary. Old school, big boy pizza. This text comes in from Quibbs. He says, hey, Bob, I'm glad to get an extra hour of Oilers Now on game days. It's my favorite way to start the day. My question for you, and I pray that I'm wrong, and it doesn't happen, but what do you think the Oilers and maybe more importantly the league will do when Calgary targets McDavid and takes him out for the series? That's a little bit harsh. Let's hope that doesn't happen. That's what I have to say. Soundwave texts the show saying, Bob, your son will get this reference. In January, February, we all thought Ken Holland was Jar Jar. Now he's looking like Palpatine because everything is proceeding as he has foreseen. Okay, there you go. Bob, can you start calling the Saddle Dome the Fabulous Saddle Dome? Because we are staying here for a while from D.C. and the YYC. Is he referring to the fact that they're not going to get a new arena here? Is that it? I mean, I the first time I went to the Great Western Forum, or what was once the Fabulous Forum, I'm like, really? This is the Fabulous Forum? They used to have urinals like the ones that they had at John Ducey Park back in the day. You know, troughs. It was a disgusting place. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Bob, don't worry. Cassian will scare them again. Oilers in 6. We'll have to wait and see on that front. And Chris from Lacombe has texted us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. He says, Bob, could Edmonton trade a draft pick to a team to take a buyout for cap relief to sign Evander Kane? That one comes to us from Chris in Lacombe. Well, we'll see. It's going to be intriguing to see. I think Evander Kane's probably going to get $5.5 or $6 million a year on minimum of 4-year deal somewhere out there on the market. Off to a Global News weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. And when we come back, Hockey Hall of Famer Kevin Lowe on the Battle of Alberta.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.